Podcasting 2.0 for October 4th, 2024, episode 196, Redneck Air Force. Hey, everybody, it's time to get your weekend started. You know what we do. We have a meeting, but not just any old meeting. It is the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, where we discuss everything that's happened in the past week, in the past 20 years, and for the future 20 years. We are, in fact, the only boardroom that never discusses our KPIs and EBITDA. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country in Alabama, the expert who can answer the question, what is a podcast? Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
The reason this podcast does not have video is because of what just happened. You're doing the intro and I'm just shoving popcorn in my mouth as fast as I can.
Because
I eat lunch during the show.
I was going to say, yeah, you're actually on your lunch hour. You break, and you don't even take a break. You're breaking from the day job and you're just going straight into the board meeting while you're eating. There will be popcorn in the boardroom.
Yes.
At all times.
Yes.
And beef milkshakes. Do you have a beef milkshake?
Yep, Got it right here.
Do you have a good beef now? Not that crap you were drinking last week? Because that was a problem.
I'm back to chocolate.
That was a problem. It was a problem.
I'm back to God's flavor, chocolate.
It feels kind of bad doing a fun, energetic show today.
Why?
For the past 70... boom! Thank you. For the past 72 hours... I have been tuned into the ham bands. I'm buying jet fuel and 100 LL at every airport I can find. I mean, what is happening in Western North Carolina is messed up, brother.
We've had this trip planned for months. We were going to go in October. In a couple of weeks, we were going to go and hike a section of the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
That's clearly off the table now because of it's so much damage to
the trail.
To the trail. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I've been very busy and I've seen little bits of news coming out of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some of the places that I'm familiar with around Asheville that got just destroyed.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I have a full scope of what's happened. Do you?
Yes, I do. And I think you don't have it by design. I'll give you the abbreviated version because we have a lot of producers in the area, a lot of No Agenda producers. I just become acquainted with this guy, Justin, who has a shoe company, OP Way, made in America, handmade leather sneakers, high end stuff. And he just reached out to me, a day before the hurricane. It's like, yeah, we want to make a No Agenda sneaker. And we've been listening for, 10 years and we're millennials and we love it. And his entire factory is destroyed. And so he's been kind of my boots on the ground. And he has his brother is a firefighter. He's about 30 minutes outside of Asheville. He says, dude, it's not hundreds. It's thousands of dead. Thousands. He says, no idea how bad it is. There is no response, state or federal, that they've seen. And they've been without power. They have a well, but they've been without power for 6 days.
Well, do they have a well that can handle, is it an electric pump well?
He put a generator on. He says he was lucky because he's kind of prepared. You got to imagine, there's no electricity. ATMs don't work. People don't have cash. But people are cut off from all civilization up on the mountaintops. And so, as is typical in America, we just jump in. It doesn't matter what your background, race, creed, religion, age, political affiliation, none of that matters. We all jump in.
You pull out the chainsaws and you go. Yeah.
Right. And so because it's the mountains, there's this redneck air force that has kind of assembled, and it's everybody who has a helicopter. There's tons of YouTube videos of guys with their own personal helicopters taking in water and blankets and taking people out. And what the travesty is, there's a lot of conspiracy theories and, that's my jam. So I'm looking into everything. It's like, they've let this all flood because they want an eminent domain, the quartz mine, the lithium, they. I'm like, no. What has happened here is all government, particularly American governments, our federal, our state governments, they are incapable. They are completely not capable of doing anything. We've wound up with this bunch of pencil pushers who, you know, draw up there on whiteboards and plans, and they're creating ideas, and they're unable to do anything. And then
there comes a point in any sort of devastation or tragedy of this scale where nobody wants to admit it, but it very much gets out. You can't even really respond on that level. Like we saw it, the same thing happened with Katrina for weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was just barely nobody even knew where to start. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to begin. Like there really was no way to even start the process if you look at it from a top down, if you're looking at it from top down, there's no way to even start. It has to be
but dude, just look at the people that we have in charge, Mayorkas. I mean, these people are incompetent. They have completely forgotten and forsaken their true mission. They're not capable of it. And media can't cover this simple fact. That's why you're not seeing all that much. They should have helicopters all over flying everywhere showing the devastation. But they can't because we're in an election cycle.
I saw that there's some city, it's like Basic or Bacik or something. They got 31 inches of rain.
Yeah, that's the numbers I'm hearing too.
31 inches is... You can't, no infrastructure, it doesn't, there is not an infrastructure you can build that will survive that.
No.
It just won't. It's gone.
In addition to that, the incompetence of our weather system. You know, they were telling people, oh, it's just some gusts and it's not too bad. And, oh, it'll be big, but it may be 80 miles, you know, 35 miles an hour, 80 mile an hour gusts. They're running computer models to prove that climate change is real, man-made climate change. And they're incapable of warning people properly. This was a mother of all storms.
Yeah,
a mother of all storms. And so it's all just... You know, especially North Carolina. I remember when it was about gender neutral bathrooms and men playing in women's sports, I pushed for abortions. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're all out here. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, OK, I'm your governor and we're working on coordinating. What? Meanwhile, there's people just, you know, using trucks and helicopters and flying medication and insulin with their own drones. Then the feds come in and say, okay, temporary flight restriction area. You can't fly here with your drone because you're going to get in the way of our operations.
Yeah. Bill me, you know, that's the way that works is, you know, send me a bill. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. That's the way people dug out of Katrina. I mean,
exactly.
It's by ignoring the feds and just doing what they knew needed to be done down their own street.
Yes. And that's what's happening. And I feel very, especially as a helicopter pilot, I'm a little too old now for this. I could have certainly gone, you know, flown co-pilot with somebody. I feel so helpless. So I know each time you come back to base, it's $300 to $500 to fill that bird up. So I'm just like, calling up airports and everyone's doing it. It's like, you need gas? All right. Just give me your credit card. Boom. Buy some gas. That's all I can do, really.
I went to Asheville. You know, we went to Asheville a couple of years ago. We were doing the show then. I think I talked about it as we went up there for a little bit of a vacation and went to, is it Chimney Rock?
Yeah. Chimney Rock is gone. It's completely gone. Yeah,
that was such a cute little town right there.
Yeah, like 12,000 people or something, or 20, no more than 20,000. Uh-huh. Very small, like Fredericksburg, basically.
It's just gone.
Yeah,
it's gone. It was a small town on. It's a small town on the bank of basically some rapids, and those rapids are, you have to walk down quite a bit. They're probably, I would say, at least 12 to. No, it's more than that. It's probably 15 feet below the level of where the town is where these rapids are. Mm-hmm. So if it rose that much, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
I mean, then it's just going to take everything out.
So
overflow its banks.
So the, um, this is a lesson for everybody. Your government is not coming to help. They're weak. They're right. Wimpy. They're woke. They are pencil pushers. This is the same complaints I hear from our military personnel. Who are these guys? What are they doing? They have no idea what they're doing anymore. It's just we've put an administrative state in place that is incapable. The only thing they can do is say, well, we need more money. That's literally what Mayorkas is saying. Well, I need more money to do this. Dude, spend, get the credit card. We'll deal with that later. Go, 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 go. You know, and then they can't agree. Well, we haven't had Title 10 approved yet by the governor, so we can't. They've got Chinook 47s and 60s ready to go at Liberty Base. Mm-hmm. And no, we can't fly them because, we don't have the permit. It's so stupid. It's disappointing.
This has happened in my lifetime. This change from when a disaster happens, the community recovers as switched to when a disaster happens, everybody looks to the government to come help them.
Waits for the government. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it started under the George Bush Sr. and Clinton administration.
Remember Brownie? Good job, Brownie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it really accelerated under the first Bush with Katrina and all that kind of stuff. And what's crazy, the W. Everybody thought that what's crazy is they showed that they were incapable to respond properly to Katrina because what was the first thing they did? They corralled everybody into the Superdome, which became a hellhole. That was horrible.
People getting raped. The whole thing was out of control.
It was like hell on earth. And then, I still remember to this day it didn't even start up for, I think, a couple of weeks. All of a sudden, there was just, you'd get stopped by a train and it would just be hundreds of these FEMA white cars going by.
Yeah.
Do you remember those FEMA trailers?
Oh, yeah. The one with formaldehyde that then went on to poison everybody.
Uh-huh. And that made New Orleans has never been the same since. No. And I guarantee you the same thing is going to happen with this. There's a certain amount of devastation where people just have to leave in order to survive. Yeah. They have to go somewhere else. And a percentage of them, sometimes a large percentage of them, will just never come back.
And what's sad to me is people have such distrust in their government that where their brain goes is, this was a setup, this was HARP, the weather modification, they wanted the land, eminent domain. No, it's much simpler. They're incapable. They are not capable of doing this. And
was that never attribute to malice what's explained by incompetence?
Yes. Beautiful. I forgot that one. Absolutely. So we've just been buying gas and praying, man. That's all we can do. That's all we can do down here. And communicating. Lots of people got my number. So let me know. Mm-hmm. Whatever I can do, if doesn't matter how small it is. The hams have been actually quite amazing. As disappointed as I was when we had the snowpocalypse here in Texas 4 or 5 years ago. They've had emergency nets that have been up 24/7. They're hands off. They're doing everything from contacting people to let them know they're okay to, hey, I need 100 foot of corrugated pipe. That to me is, gives me a lot of hope in our country. And I checked out the radio stations on TuneIn. Boom, boom, TuneIn. annoying jingle they've got. And both NPR stations, this is Terry Gross, Fresh Air. Okay. So I listen to the country stations, the top 40 stations. Everybody's on network-based programming, just playing music. The faith broadcasters, the Christian stations, they're doing food drives. They're organizing at their church. They're taking in money. Yeah. It's like, okay, someone's doing something. It's just,
Do you remember also in the lifetime of this boardroom, it was guy from Radio Inc. I can't remember his last name. Ed Ryan.
Oh yeah, sure.
Ed Ryan. When Tampa Bay got demolished,
he was doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, him and his wife, they got on a live stream. They were doing a live stream every single day, saying and they would take, they were taking call-ins. People would call in, you know, hey, I live at 22 Appalachia Drive or whatever, I need some gas. And somebody get this guy a couple gallons of gas. And it was just like that for like maybe 3 weeks.
Oh, and it was, but already the news moved right on to breaking new allegations against Trump. Like, whoa, this is so wrong. Ugh.
And there's no, I mean, there's, I just looked at like New York Times. There's no, not a single mention of it.
No, anywhere
on the first page.
Because it's political season and everyone's pointing fingers at each other. Oh, it's that guy's fault. Oh, it's the lieutenant governor. Oh, it's like, okay, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. So go Redneck Air Force is what I say.
Redneck Air Force.
That's what I'm calling them. The Redneck Air Force. Yes. All right. Happier news. After last week's board meeting, I was at the Podcasters Virtual Summit, Bitcoin for Podcasters, hosted by...
Yes, we need a report.
Yes, hosted by DJ Valerie. B-Love! Waka waka, B-Love! It was actually... I put a link in our show notes. It was great. It was real... You know, she did a fireside chat, which was on Zoom.
Nice.
And so we talked, and, you know, this was obviously Bitcoin focus, which was fine. And Oscar was on, Barry from Podhome, Moritz from Albie. I know I'm forgetting people now. But it was good. And, you know, we did a panel afterwards and talked a lot of... Ben from... from Ellen Bits.
Okay.
And I asked him right there on the panel, hey, Ben, can you bump that PR for us? He said, yeah, I'll bump that. Yeah, he said, of course, I'll bump that. Sure. He said, you know, they're about to go into 1.0. So there's a lot going on with those guys. And I understand, you know, I comprehend what that means. Let me put it that way.
For sure.
So nice guy though. He's like, oh, yeah, we really want to make this work. And it's interesting because at the same time, Albie Hub for Start 9 came out officially in the marketplace, the Start 9 marketplace. Oh, okay. Now I understand what it does. This is great. It's very impressive.
So we've not had a clip. I mean, are you saying that we've misunderstood what this is?
No. Haven't misunderstood it at all, but now it's okay. So they've released this for your own benefit. You can run on your own server. And, you know, what it does is it, in essence, transforms your Lightning node into kind of, I would just call it an umbral for Lightning apps. So there's this whole store, and then you can connect any Lightning app to your node with ease. So, linking my Get Albie address. So I still had a legacy wallet, and I think I had maybe 600,000 sats in there. And
so in your Albie wallet.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I use it, you know, I dump stuff in there. I take a split on some of my shows to keep the flow going just a little bit to keep filling it up. But I usually deplete it because, you know, I like to boost my balls.
And yes, you do.
And so you click, it connects, and then right away I could send that balance over with one click of the button. They have their own wallet called Albie Go, which is just a very, very simple Lightning wallet. Boom, click. I mean, it works incredibly well. And then, of course, there's 1,000 Noster apps, but there's all kinds of other stuff that you can connect to it. And you can act as an Uncle Jim node. So that's the equivalent of Ellen Bits.
That's the thing that Albie wanted us to do for podcast apps.
Yeah, no way. There's no way we can do that. No, we're going to go to jail. So no, we can't do that.
Yeah, right.
and I get it, but no, we can't do that. I'm doing it for Jimmy. I'm doing it for a couple other people who want to move off of, have over a million sats in their Get Albie accounts, and they're getting messages like, Hey, you gotta move stuff out. And so I'm going to set up some accounts for them just to make it easy. So that was the virtual summit, and it was great. And thank you, DJ Valerie B. Love, for hosting that. She's wonderful. I didn't know her personally. I'd seen her at a Value for Value I think at the Bitcoin conference, she did a value for value panel. She's great. She's quite an asset to the Valueverse. Then we had episode 1700 of No Agenda.
And that was
yesterday.
Okay.
And you know, our
I'll have, yeah,
these milestone numbers, you know, 1700,
right.
It'll be 17 years of that show on October 26th.
That's huge, man. Congratulations.
Almost as long as my first marriage. So John will be my longest wife ever.
Congratulations, man. That's a huge deal.
I mean,
the staying power. I mean, just this show is to, let's see, this show has only been a little over 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
Just 4 years, seeing the real commitment of time it takes to prep and show up and do the show every, I mean, like it's 17 years or excuse me. I mean, 1700 shows is amazing.
So, I just wanted to remind people of the secrets, because there are some very basic rules. If you want to, have a successful value for value podcast, you always have to have your feedback loop when, you know, however you do it, when people are sending in money or, well, we don't have Boost yet. It's coming. But we have PayPal and Stripe and, you know, so we have a thank you. So we actually have two thank you segments. We have incentives, like, you know, if you're cumulative $1,000, there's many people who've been doing $4 a week for, you know, years and oops, all of a sudden they look at their accounting like, hey, I've reached it. They get a ring. You know, it's like our version of the tote bag. Only much cooler, yeah. Obviously. We always release, but we don't release, we record live. Same time, every single time. We've had one or two, maybe a handful of instances where we've had to start later for some travel or something like that. But in general, it's always the same time. The live stream and the chat room, which we call the troll room, I think has been instrumental. And I've always advocated for live production. It's just better. You have a live studio audience. You've got your instant feedback loop like we have now in the boardroom. It's incredibly important.
I don't think we did the first maybe what 50 episodes of this show not live.
I thought we did live right away. We didn't do it live right away.
No, it may not have been 50. It was early, but we did maybe. We did a few months without live. Really? It may have been like 30 episodes, 25, something like that. But
once we got the chat tag in there is probably when it was like, hey, there's a chat tag. Let's do it live. Right.
Yeah. So we were waiting for something like that. And then we did it. And like, I don't even think if we had to go back to doing it, I don't even think I'd want to do the show.
No, it's not as fun.
It's not. It's not.
Exactly. So there's that aspect, which, and we never edit anything. I mean, yeah, if there's a huge technical issue, I'll take out the junk if necessary, but in general, we don't edit. In fact, the biggest joke is, don't worry, I'll edit that out. No, no one will ever know the difference.
Yeah, right.
I did that to Tina the other day on Curry and the Keeper. And then she came to me the next day, hey, you forgot to edit that out. I'm like, how long have you known me? Like, I'm not going to edit that out. That's great. People love hearing the flubs and that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I think we also, by the way, we accept checks. I'd say 40% of our value for value comes in through people who send checks. In America, you can send it automatically from your bank. You know, the processing is almost no fees. And people get very creative and they send in handwritten notes. And you know, so the feedback loop is critical.
Don't tell me. I never want to hear that that something is, quote, too much friction. If 40% of your donations are people that have sat down with a pen and a check and then mailed it to you, that is some serious. That's about as the most friction as you can possibly get.
Yeah, no, they love doing it. They love it. What was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, of course, value for value is time, talent, and treasure. We have from the beginning always said, hey, you can't support us with money. You can promote us, be online. If, you know, we've never built our own website. Coded Monkey did the most recent one for us, Tim, which is noagendashow.net. We have the No Agenda meetups, all producer organized. Everyone organizes that themselves. We just promote it. We play their promos. We play their reports. You know, I'll actually spend time editing the really crappy ones where we're going to hand the phone around. Yeah, so edit all that out. the art, so we've almost from the beginning, we've had new artwork for every episode. No Agenda Art Generator, also built by one of our producers, Sir Paul Couture. That has, you know, and then the boots on the ground, once we kind of got people trained, like if you hear us talking about something or if there's something in the news that you know about, because everybody has a specialty, it is your obligation to email us and tell us what's really going on. And so, I mean, with this Hurricane Helene thing, it's been almost overwhelming. So my job, I'm really an information gatherer. And so there's no way on Value for Value we could afford producers. By the way, I produce the show. John does all he writes the newsletter. This is the other critical part. Before every show, the day before, a newsletter goes out. He has a template. He has it templatized at this point, but there's thought that goes into it. He sends me the copy. I proofread it, send it back to him. Stuff still messes up, of course. I think we even send it to a third person, another producer who checks it. And the whole purpose of that newsletter is twofold. One, we have another show coming up tomorrow. Remember, your life is busy. We're reminding you that we're going to do another show tomorrow. And yes, we need you to support us. And it works, and we're not bashful about it. Mm-hmm. And if people found no value, they would not send us value. And that's the most honest media I've ever been involved in. Coincidentally, it was the longest media job I've ever had in my life.
It is, isn't it?
Oh, by a long shot. MTV was half of the MTV. No, MTV was 7 years, 7.5 years. So, it's
interesting.
It's been the longest media gig I've ever had. And, I'm going to die spitting in the mic one way or the other.
Of course you will. That's who you are.
Yeah. So I always approach, the podcast industry in a very different way, because I can also look at my stats, and the majority of people, we have a lot of people using Podverse, a lot of people using Podcast Guru, a lot of people using Fountain. Like big numbers, like 30-40%, like big numbers, because I tell them, this is, you want to get notified within 90 seconds, use one of these apps. You know, you want to get a bat signal when we go live, use one of these apps. You want to see all the other cool pieces of art that people created that we didn't choose as album art? Dreb Scott, thank you, Dreb Scott, another valuable value for value contribution. He puts in album art that he pulls right from the art generator. This is the new type of media that people need to be looking at. And the apps, I think, can do an even better job at creating this loop. You know, these feedback loops are critical. This is where a lot of video falls down, which is why one of the reasons I don't think it's that important. Because video by itself is very difficult to do video and be interactive. It's like I can be doing the show and I can be looking at the boardroom and seeing what people are saying and interacting with them. We've got boostograms firing off with different sounds. All of these things are happening in real time. And if I also had to figure out what camera I'm looking at or what the shot is or have someone do that, forget about it. And it's no longer intimate. This is an intimacy of epic proportions. And
well, you have standing to say that because you did TV for a long time. You did video for many years.
Yeah.
So it's not like, and you did, you know, you also did video podcasts. People, you know, sure. I don't think people don't remember like the Big Book Show and the Big App Show.
Big App Show, Big Book Show. Yeah.
Those were video shows. Mm-hmm. Those were video podcasts and you did them. So you have, like when you speak about these things, it's not like you're just, it's theoretical. You actually did them and like did them very early too.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I never made any money very early.
Right. Yeah. That's always been your problem. You're too early.
Always too early. Now I can see interview shows. It's interesting to see the interview subject. I mean, I get all that. So when I was listening to Power, the Pod News Weekly Review, and they had the interview with the Spotify lady, And, you know, and she goes right into, well, a podcast can be whatever people call it. It's not dependent upon RSS. By the way, it's RSS. There's no such thing as open RSS. It's just RSS. Mm-hmm. And to me, I remember we started podcasting, and I don't know if I still have that. I don't know if I still have that jingle. I guess not. It was transmitters. We don't need no stinking transmitters. You know, so to say that it doesn't matter how it's distributed, it does. It does matter because you're not in control. And how many times do we see someone get kicked off of YouTube? How long before you build up your audience with video on Spotify, which only is on Spotify, before something happens? You're not in control. That was the whole point. And the advertising industry, they should be outraged about this. The whole beauty of RSS distribution is you put your ad in one place, it goes to all the apps. What, now you've got to have conversations with everybody else? Blah. Anyway.
I don't know if you pulled any clip of that.
I didn't pull any clip. Well, I have the, what are we drinking?
This is the last of the LaCroix Pure.
I have a LaCroix. I forgot what I have in it, though. I have actually the... James was kind enough to post. So what is a podcast? Maybe we should just play that bit here.
I love this question. This is something that I've thought about a lot over the years. As I think you know, I was the first employee at Anchor back in the day, way too many years ago.
Oh,
I stayed with the...
Yes.
So this, I guess it's just the political season that we're in, but this is the... I forgot what the original question was.
So what is a podcast?
What is a podcast? Yes. So this is the, I was born in a middle-class family answer.
I started Anchor.
What is a podcast?
Well, I was born in a middle-class family.
I love this question. This is something that I've thought about a lot over the years. As I think you know, I was the first employee at Anchor back in the day, way too many years ago. I stayed with the company through our sale to Spotify, and now I lead product for Spotify's podcast team. So I've been through a lot of evolutions of podcasts over the years, gotten a lot of thoughts from creators and from listeners. And I also have a few podcasts myself, so I've seen this up close. Everything from how people distribute to what formats they're producing to how they find new audiences and how they interact with the people listening. A lot of that has been changing and sort of questioned over the years. So where I've landed is, I think it's less about the delivery mechanism or whether it's audio or video. It's also really not up to me or any person or company to define. I think a podcast is whatever podcast creators and listeners say it is. And they're telling us more and more that to them, a podcast can be video, it can be interactive, it can exist outside of an RSS feed. And since all of those things introduce new great opportunities for podcasters, I don't see why we wouldn't lean into them as an industry. I will try to answer your actual question, though.
Oh, thanks.
I think that at its core, the things that attract people to podcasts as a medium have remained the same, even as all of these things have been evolving. It's about information, connection, great storytelling. And I don't really see that changing despite, you know, whatever continues to happen with the format itself.
So I agree that connection is a big part of it. Storytelling, I mean, the content. Mm-hmm. We often in the industry, we no longer talk about the content, just about growing your show, discovery. No, if it sucks, it sucks. If it's small, it's small. If it's meant for a small audience, it's going to be a small audience. The thinking is still so old world. Like, we got to grow, got to be big, got to be the biggest. No. We right now have 46 people in the troll room. We may have twice that listening. And it doesn't matter. It's the right people. It's our people. We're sustaining an entire infrastructure on this ragtag crew. That's what it's about. Now, but then to say it can exist, it doesn't matter what the distribution is. Well, I'll argue against that. I think a blog without an RSS feed is dumb. You know, almost every system on the internet today poops out an XML feed of some version, usually RSS, with good reason. So it does matter. And the fact that Spotify is allowing you to upload video that can't leave their garden is dumb of, on their accord. It's dumb. It won't work.
I've got, I've, you know, I heard this, you know, quote unquote interview, which kind of wasn't in really.
No, it was an email interview and she recorded yeah. some of the answers, which was nice. Like you it's can't, fine. You can't yeah, make time to just have a little chat. I mean, did they have the Spotify PR right there to make sure your answers were right? Or what was that? One thing
I was unclear about is what it sounded like they reached out and said, hey, we're now going to do some email interviews. Would you like to ask us some questions?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know exactly how that went.
But I may have misunderstood that. Maybe James can clarify. I don't know. He asked for it. But that struck me as odd. But anyway, I was sitting back and thinking about this whole thing. And I mean, it's pretty obvious from the beginning why people want to define podcasting as something other than RSS-based delivery. This has always been the case. Because if they broaden the definition of what a podcast is, just like we heard from Oxford Road from Dan Granger, it opens up the advertising dollars that are locked into certain channels.
Like YouTube and TikTok yes. and Reels and Instagram. Yeah.
What Granger said was if they define a podcast as being also a YouTube video or et cetera, then the advertising agencies don't have to go back and ask for, they don't have to walk across the hall and ask for money from that other group. So that, I mean, that's clearly the issue there, but I just don't think. You know, but I think it's bigger than that. I don't think advertising is not a big, is not a huge moneymaker for Spotify. I don't think. I mean, we've seen their numbers. They're recently profitable and they're basking in that clearly. And I don't, what always struck me was that the advertising revenue is not huge for them. It's if without subscribers are the bulk of their income. And they need yes. people to pay for these yes. services.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the people I think that should be concerned, I've actually got a lot of thoughts about this more than I thought I did. It's kind of coming to me. The people that I think should be concerned about Spotify themselves as a threat are the podcast hosting companies.
Yeah.
I don't see how Spotify continues without turning Spotify for Podcasters into some sort of paid,
some kind of revenue generator. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the only way
with video support, you know,
well, the only thing that they can really do now is you upload to us and we jam ads in there and we give you a, you know, like YouTube, we give you a tiny, tiny bit.
Right.
That's the only, that's the model. They're clearly, in fact, let me just play this is the last one I'll do. Cause you can listen, you can read it. Links in the show notes. James played a lot of it on Podcast Weekly Review. This is the how important is open RSS. I just have to say it's RSS. Is there any closed RSS? I guess, you know, private feeds, but just say RSS.
Okay.
To Spotify, and how will you continue supporting it? Now listen to this because she kind of contradicts herself.
So obviously one of the main benefits of podcasting has always been that creators can really easily distribute their content to multiple platforms and consumers have the choice of where and how they want to listen to it.
Yes.
And I think the benefits of wide distribution for creators in particular are more apparent than ever. You've seen this reflected in Spotify's strategy with shows like Joe Rogan and Science Versus going back to being available everywhere.
So, okay. So thank you for admitting that it was not a good idea to have Joe Rogan exclusive to Spotify, and because he couldn't make it pay, obviously. I have no idea what the actual deal is. Worth up to is meaningless to me. So why then are you making the video exclusive to Spotify and it can't go to anywhere you want to play it? This is the contradiction.
So we understand that RSS plays an important role in giving creators more control over their content. And we definitely plan to continue supporting both on and off platform distribution for shows that are hosted with Spotify, as well as allowing podcasters to keep distributing their content to Spotify from other hosts over RSS. Nothing is changing there.
Yeah, except for video.
That said, we do have more tools and functionality on Spotify that goes beyond what RSS supports. And for us, that's not about exclusivity. We want to be able to keep innovating on the format and opening up new avenues for fans and creators to connect with each other, for creators to have options about how to monetize and how to express themselves and customize their show. Huh? So we will keep doing that. But as you've noted, and hopefully most of your audience have noticed throughout this year, we're going to continue to invest in the open ecosystem as much as we can. It's a really big priority to me to make sure that all podcasters can get the most possible value out of Spotify. So whether it's through RSS and through our own tools, either way, that's always our goal, is just helping podcasters get the most out of our platform.
Yeah, I just don't believe that. It's a lie.
My take on this is a little different. We have to look at this in context. Look at what Spotify's podcasting division was 4 years ago, and look at what it is today. It's completely different. It's tiny compared to what it was. This is a company that was putting billions of dollars into podcasting. Now we don't even know what those numbers are. It's insignificant to their bottom line.
Yeah. I agree.
So what I see here is not, I see a company that came back down to earth as far as podcasting goes. And this video push, number one, I do not trust their numbers at all when it comes to how many people want video. They say it's like 40%.
Yeah, sure.
I just do not believe
why don't
that.
They have like only music videos? Why is it just music tracks? They should be doing music videos. Everyone loves music videos. Everyone wants music videos, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I think they are trying to broaden away from being slaves to the music publishing companies.
Yes, of course.
And they need to flip the script to get a measure of control over that. So, like, I'm going to compliment Spotify here and say that I think that this is a company that's good at seeing what the next hype cycle is and taking advantage of it. That doesn't mean necessarily jumping in with both feet. It's just they've always been good at riding whatever the wave is that they need to ride to get through the next economic cycle. And
yeah, which is every 3 months for their next reporting period.
Yeah. What does that say about what the next cycle is? I mean, look at what they're doing. They've just dabbled in AI. They've not really done a lot of serious stuff with AI, which tells me that AI is dead cat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a big priority for them. I think they saw that was a waste. They don't call them video podcasts. They call it video.
Mm, yeah.
I don't think ultimately they're really interested in podcasters.
I can tell you what go ahead.
I don't think they're interested in podcasters. I think what they see is the death of television. And they're trying to position themselves for what that looks like, the post-streaming world of video. I bet you within a year or two, maybe they'll start to make plays for some video content, perhaps sports.
Right.
I think here's what I think their ultimate play is. I think they want to be Amazon Prime. They already have merch and tickets and all these things, just like Sam mentioned on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Spotify reminds me of Hulu. It's a company that's owned essentially by the publishing companies, and they're forever trying to get out of that pigeonhole.
Yeah.
So that they're not slaves to
which they are. They're slaves to the record companies.
So I'm not really that interested in their views on RSS, because I think at this point in time, just like Amazon Music, they have a podcast division that does some stuff from time to time. But like, if you but I don't think that's, it's really sort of an afterthought to the company at large. I don't really think that it's just not their focus. I mean, like audiobooks was just a tool that Spotify needed to get leverage over pricing.
Mm-hmm.
I think podcasting is just another tool in their bag that they're used, that they need sometimes to get some sort of leverage out of it. I just don't think ultimately they care that much about it.
I think you're spot on, and kudos to Chad F because he nails it. What they should be doing next to make money is they should become Spotify for OnlyFans. You should have,
yeah.
You should be able to do OnlyFans live stream on Spotify, you know, pay for it, password protected, age verified. They can do all of it. They should do that. They'll make billions.
Buy OnlyFans.
Yeah. Well, I think OnlyFans is out of their reach at this point. You know, it's amazing the amount of money they make.
I think we also forget how big Spotify is outside of the United States.
Yeah.
Outside of the U.S. Like, yeah. Because they could become the Amazon Prime of everywhere else other than the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Anyway, yeah,
good luck to him. That's a good way to say it. Cause I'm just not that interested in what their views on RSS are, because I don't think they're that interested in what their views on RSS are. They have a few people left over there who are actually doing this work, and it's just not, I just don't think they care that much. Those people do because it's their job, but I mean, the company at large, I just don't, it's largely uninteresting to me. And podcasting, RSS, the RSS ecosystem of podcasting, which is, you know, the hosting companies and the podcasters themselves and the infrastructure people, we're going to take care of ourselves.
Yes.
Because this is another thing too, is we're talking about AI. AI is people who have built on AI, hosting companies and other companies, that concerns me a bit, because that whole thing. But you sent me an article, a really good article called The Subprime AI Crisis.
Yeah, that same guy wrote a follow-up to it, which is even better. I haven't sent it to you yet. But yeah.
Okay.
So OpenAI, in essence, for every dollar they make, they spend $2.35 currently. currently. So
it's unsustainable.
They're already talking about, well, everything in technology has always been to reduce costs, and every improvement in technology is supposed to make the system more cost efficient, you know, less power consumption. Look at the laptops. I mean, it's all about faster processor, lower power consumption, longer battery life. This is the opposite.
Yeah. Like, these costs are going up.
Yeah. We need thorium reactors. Otherwise we can't handle it. You know, it costs $100 million to build a large language model, and that's just the entry point at this stage. So, and they're not charging. They're not charging the money that it costs. I mean, OpenAI is already talking about moving. You know, they're going to increase 10% to $22 a month. The ultimate goal will be $44 a month in 4 or 5 years. I think it'll go much, much higher. And at a certain point, how much are you willing to pay to not write your own description and your own chapter titles?
If people have not read that article, search for Google the search subprime AI crisis. In there it says that less than 1% of Microsoft's paying Office 365 customers have subscribed to their Copilot service.
Yeah, because it's expensive.
Because it's very expensive.
$50 a seat, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's you multiply that times a few thousand seats at your organization, that is major cash.
We got a boots on the ground the other day from a guy who works at Epic, which is the largest medical health record company. And so all the executives are all jacked and jitty about, OpenAI, we're going to integrate AI. It's going to be great. $3,000 a year per seat, 65 cents per API query. What?
Ooh.
What?
Ooh.
Just
65 cents.
Just to summarize reports and then send off a hit to another API that says, okay, pharmacy, write the prescription. In the meantime, these doctors, they're so jacked on it, they're writing their patient reports in ChatGPT, which is completely against all HIPAA regulation.
Oh yeah, that's a travesty.
It's insane. That's all right. Whatever. Meanwhile,
No, I was just going to say that to circle that thought back around is that if podcast hosting companies and podcast apps and you know they've built some really cool stuff on AI, I guess I would just warn to have a backup plan.
Yeah.
Because all of the material that's coming out of no matter whose API you're calling, you're ultimately probably calling OpenAI or Anthropic.
Yeah.
You know, you're eventually getting back to one of those two players, and when this thing crashes, it may go very fast.
Yeah.
And you may not have you may have to rip and replace that product.
So it could bring down the economy. It could bring down the economy. What are you talking about? The whole economy is built on this. The hyperscalers. We got so many data centers coming online. You know, they better be ready to mine Bitcoin with it. I don't know what else. I don't know if you can have all these AI customers. Anyway, meanwhile,
No, please. No, I was just going to say it's also built on. Another thing that this article talked about is also all built on intellectual property theft. All of it.
Yes.
It
is.
The thing about a large language model, I've said this before, is that all these generative models, is that the model, what a model is, it's the algorithm and the data combined into one big blob.
Yeah, like an interactive database, basically.
Yes. And so the reason that OpenAI's most advanced model doesn't know how many letter R's there are in the word strawberry is because nobody's ever asked that question before.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it literally does not know because that data is not there. And it does the same reason it doesn't know how many states start, you know, have the letter A in it, because it only knows the words that it's seen before.
Even worse, it said Wyoming.
Yeah, right. And so the whole notion of emergent properties and all this is complete BS.
Yeah.
It only knows what it's got. The most advanced models still give horrible answers. And so this whole thing is being that it's built on intellectual property theft. This is the same thing I've seen with Midjourney when I've been using Midjourney the last few weeks, is in order to get it to give you good stuff, you have to start giving it keywords of known things that you've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
You have to tell it things like, you have to use phrases like taken with a Nikon camera, because what that means is it's going to go off and begin to assemble generative data from things like Flickr.
Yeah.
And things that or you'll say, you know, in the style of Norman Rockwell, or blah, blah, blah. You start to have to use these things, which you know what you're telling it is, go over here and grab this stuff that you scraped. So this whole thing is just, it's just a disaster. It's going to collapse.
Meanwhile, in the Valueverse, hot news, December 16th at the famous Antone's in Austin, Texas, Adam Curry's Boostagram Ball Live, December 16th.
No way.
Way. I had a chat with Open Mike. He's the guy that he actually had a hand in saving small venues during COVID. So a much longer story.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But he, of course, set up the Minneapolis show with Just Loud and Ainsley Costello, etc. And he called me, you know, he reached out and he said, you know, would you be interested in, it's been an ongoing conversation. He said, hey, can we brand it as Adam Curry's Boostagram Ball Live? And I said, yeah, but I need some help because we can't have Adam Curry's Boostagram Ball Live if Boostagram Ball is on, you know, some kind of permanent ice pack, which just doesn't happen.
What do you mean? It's in the freezer.
It's in the freezer. And so, lo and behold, Jim Costello reaches out to me the same day before this phone call.
And
I say, Jim. Okay. And so I said, Jim, I got to talk to you. And I say, Jim, I realize my problem. It's the same as No Agenda. No Agenda, I have producers. And these producers, they produce stuff. And I just have to bring it all together. You know, it's a very interactive, creative process. And I also have a co-host who also is doing this work. And after, you know, 17 years, we have a pretty good flow and we don't have a script or anything. It just melds together and we make it work. Mm-hmm. I need someone to do the work of getting me songs. If you can do that, I can bang out a Boostagram ball. That's easy. So give me the songs. Mm-hmm. Give me the songs you think are good. Here's, you know what I like, you know, pretty much everything.
Give me 10 songs a week, you know, something like that.
14, actually. Okay. And he said, okay, he's going to do it. And so starting next Wednesday, we'll do it every 2 weeks to start off with. Because I talking about format, like everyone likes, oh, it's the new song. That's not how you build up artists. That's not how you make hits. So, and you give me 14 songs, I'm going to play in 1 hour, I'm going to play 3 songs you already know and one mm-hmm. song that goes way back, you know? So that's how music radio formats work, that you have to be, I recognize that song.
You know, a deep cut and then stuff, you know, and then the new stuff.
It's actually a formula for it. It's called a format clock. So you start off with a banger, then you go into a recurrent, which is between 3 months and a year old. Then you can do something that's hot now. Then you can do a new song, another recurrent. You can do another, there's different formats for it. And it's tried and tested throughout the ages. So I'm very excited about that on Wednesdays, it's like, oh, here's the songs, throw them together, click the stream on, go. I mean, I don't need much more preparation other than, okay, let me listen to the songs. These are the ones that have been chosen for me. And of course I could say, well, I want to play this one, or I want to change it out or whatever, I'll have the obvious freedom, but I love Jim for doing that. And of course, the only other, we had talked about a lot of things actually, and we're fortunate that we still have RSS Blue, Pod Home, Wave Lake, and Fountain, because that's the only wallets that we can really talk about.
Right.
We're still desperate for the Zebedee solution, LightSpark, Strike integration. We need a lot more options for these other apps to tap into, because otherwise it becomes a very one-sided story.
Yeah. But Eric asked, is Phantom Power Music Hour still going to go, or is that folding into Boostagram Bowl?
No. I think he's going to continue to do that.
Okay. All
right. Yeah. No, I would hope he doesn't. But he understands the problem.
Well, that's Providence. I mean, it's Providence that he, that those two things came together on the same day.
Yeah. Yes, it is. A God nod is, as we say. Yes, totally.
A God nod, yeah.
Totally. Totally. And I just wanted to mention with this project, we're going to be talking about our project in a couple of weeks probably, but funding tag will be a big deal. Apps, you may see people who have funding tags in their feeds, who are going to want to see that surface in a way that is clear to see and as interactive as a boost button.
Mm.
So I'm just saying.
Face set. Well, we can do a little namespace if you want to.
Yeah, we might as well do a little bit of namespace.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Okay. I also have a song, so just for your timing.
On the side project front, front end sucks. I hate it.
front end. Yeah, GUI stuff is GUI. It's GUI.
Oh, it's the worst. I mean, I had a problem last night where I had one behavior when, this is the double add thing that I'm trying to fix. that you know about that had one behavior when the dev console, dev tools console of Chrome was open, and a different behavior when it was closed.
Oh, what?
Now, explain that one to me.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's all fixed now, but I was for about an hour and a half. I was like, I hate everything and I hate the whole world and I want to quit.
Don't quit, Dave.
But it's all good. But, phase seven, I just polished that turd out and just send it off into space. It's done.
It was a turd and you polished it. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's fine. It's phase seven is now closed and I never want to see it or hear the term phase seven again. Cause right. It was a long, painful process.
Very painful phase.
Eric, it was not caching. I know what you're talking about with disabling caches. There's a checkbox that did not have anything to do with it.
Mm. How dare you question the pod sage?
That's the first thing I did. It did not affect this issue at all. Phase seven is done. The funding tag is now
item level.
Yeah. Yes.
I saw,
so we made that change.
Stephen B made those changes in sovereign feeds, which I highly appreciate. So he added also a publisher feed. You can now be a publisher feed. A couple other things. It's good. I love sovereign feeds. I've been running on it for 4 years. That was without sovereign feeds. This project would be in big trouble.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because
absolutely.
You know, if we can't publish the stuff that we're talking about, then why would anybody else? So,
bless Stephen Bell.
Yes.
That change, the funding tag change is now in effect. And I put announcements on these things on the GitHub and on the Podcast Index social. I wanted to talk briefly about I plan to make the changes to the images tag this week. We discussed that before with Nathan's changes, but this relates to Russell's. Russell's want of the banner tag.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole thing I just want to speak briefly about that. So the images tag, I'm going to change to fit Nathan's changes. Cause I think that makes a lot of sense. That can exist regardless of the banner stuff. So the banner stuff does because those changes are being made, doesn't mean that you can't have a tag called banner.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing, don't get too upset about that, but it got me thinking about a plan for things like the banner tag. So, and what I mean is, that we have situations that come up like this sometimes, and we always will, where somebody like Russell he's already got code that's written. He's thinking in a particular way about his use case and the way it solves his problems.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just seriously think this is the right way to do things. And we may have a honest to God difference of opinion within the group.
Well, Pod ID is a fine example of that. He's basically already coding that.
Yeah, right. And so, and I think, I'm not sure exactly what he's doing, but I think we can make that work into the person stuff.
He's creating a new way of doing the person tag.
Which is fine. You know, that sounds fine to me, for IDs or whatever. But it got me thinking about what do we do in those circumstances? Because, I don't like any project to be like there's one person who gets to win. That doesn't feel communal to me.
No.
But at the same time, we are making a reference.
Is this your is this your DEI pitch that you're about to do?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we have quotas. No. So So I'm trying to find a way to marry those things together. I specifically did not use the word standard because I don't think that the namespace is a standard. Mm-hmm. I think it's a reference. It's a reference to say, if you want to put this type of information in your feed, here's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it as that, then you can say, well, okay, a standard means that I'm going to have to do it this way or else nobody's going to be able to look and see my stuff.
Right.
A reference is more like, here's the way you can do it. And this will make sense if other people write their stuff
to read it. Yeah. To decode it.
Right. If we're all looking at the same, as long as we're all looking at the same reference implementation, then we'll all be able to read the same stuff. Mm-hmm. So this got me thinking about sort of a quote unquote appendix. So, you know, we will have things like the images tag and funding tag and all the blah, blah, blah. But if we could also have like I don't know if appendix is the right thing to call it, but some other section of the document that says, hey, these are not things that have been formally adopted into the namespace XMLNS document, but these are other tags that are in the wild that use the podcast namespace. Hmm. So here are some other examples of tags that we have seen that we know are in use that we want you to know that you may encounter. Hmm. So in that respect, you could have and the reason I think this is important, you could have some feed producers that use a tag, and we know this is already the case, they use a tag in slightly the wrong way. And that could be documented so that we just are all aware that this is the case. It could be that, look, you may see this tag, this thing called a banner tag. We know that this thing is in use because it meets a particular need. When you see it, here's what to do with it. Hmm. Even though the reference is not saying, we think that the way to do a banner is this way. It's really, I guess what I'm saying is it's a way for the reference that is the namespace to stay a little less opinionated. Mm-hmm. And I know that's going to drive people nuts because people love nerds love to be super opinionated about stuff. But I don't know, if you think about it, I don't know that that's ever been the way that we've approached this. And I feel like this is a way that where people could satisfy their own needs and also
have a place where that, right. And then say, okay, this is what I'm doing. Here's how you read it. This is how it's happening.
Yeah. So think about it this way. It's not that much different than what already happens in the world of namespaces. There's a media namespace. There's an iTunes namespace. There's a podcast namespace. There's a Dublin Core namespace. There's all these namespaces, and some of them have overlapping functionality. Mm-hmm. The media namespace has a thumbnail tag. Mm-hmm. The iTunes namespace has an image tag.
Oh, the podcast index. Sam Sethi and Daniel J. Lewis are going to create millions of references.
I feel like we just open the barn door and let Sam run out with, you know, on a stallion. He's going to go nuts now. But we already have these different namespaces that have sometimes overlapping tag functionality. Mm-hmm. And what we have is a reference for all of them that says, okay, if you see this thing, here's how you handle it. If you see this other thing, here's how you handle it. If you see this other, if you see media thumbnail, here's what you do with it.
And do these things eventually migrate into the namespace if there's broad adoption?
I don't think they have to. I mean, they're already, once we do, they're already essentially, if we do it this way, they're essentially there already. Mm. Yeah, because that's what, this is sort of a formalizing of community. Okay, here's a perfect example. Stephen Bell. Stephen Bell added in an attribute to the live item tag that was not supposed
right,
to be there.
Right. That's the WebSocket.
The chat URL.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes.
For IRC.
Mm-hmm.
That was an attribute he purely made up and just stuck it in there himself. It was never in the standard. It was never in the namespace. But everybody saw it and everybody knew how to handle it. And so Podverse started using it too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. Those kinds of things, when we see them happen, they could be documented in a separate part of the namespace that says, here's some things that you may see that will fall under the podcast name that will be claiming to be a part of the podcast namespace, even though they've never gone through the formalization process. And I think that's fine.
I'm good with it. If you're good with it, I'm good with it.
As long as we document it,
yeah,
then the reference stays what it is, a reference.
It's about to get real fun, everybody.
I don't think it will. I really don't.
We'll see. It's going to be fun. Because people see you kind of as the guy who's like, oh, well, we're going to put this in the namespace. And you watch. It's going to be interesting.
You know, and that's the thing that I'm trying to tame a little bit. I don't necessarily want to be the benevolent the guy.
I understand. You're a good dictator, also, though. We like you as dictator. You're a good dictator. People like dictators. Don't you know that?
Oh, yes. I've heard this. but I think that this is and I'm not simply trying to find compromise. I think it's a good idea. I think it's already happening. And I think this is a way to acknowledge that it's happening. And in a way that doesn't make everybody lose their mind. Yeah. And get mad at each other and stuff.
Well, this is the perfect moment to play some music. I don't know why, but it just feels like the perfect moment. So we can all just reflect on that. Tony Salamone released some fresh music into the Valueverse. And it's kind of one of those Friday jams, you know, like let's shred a little bit. I'm ready. This is Unleash on Podcasting 2.0. Remember to boost.
I guess this is goodbye. We know it's been a long time coming, but now we gotta fight. Guess we've been keeping our demons hidden. There's fire in your words, and I know it's gotta hurt. Burns in your mouth, and if you want to, you can let it out. Something's changing in me now. Victims to our fate. Am I guilty or just the first to walk away? But now you're talking down to me, and it makes me kinda glad I didn't say it. Hold on. Solarize. I wanna believe. hold on me.
Has officially started.
That's some good riffs. I like that.
As a CLOS on Linux boosted. Wow, AI music has gotten really good. He says
that's not AI.
No, of course not. Of course not. Yeah, it's good. It's great riffs.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss Booster Grand Ball.
Well, it's coming back, baby. Wednesday.
Taking it out of the freezer.
Okay, yes. We're going to thaw it out. Let's thank some people as we're still in the summer hours here. The summer hours over. Dave's got to get back to work. Randall Black, 1,000 sats for Unleash right there. Heard on Podcasting 2.0. Hashtag V for V is the only way. That's right. I just read CLOS on Linux with his 2,000 sats. We have 1776 from Salty Cray on Howdy Boardroom. Another big shout out to Eric PP. He was helping myself, Sir Libre, and Kevin Bay from Sats and Sounds with some minor issues of AlbiHub talking to Helipad in regards to how boostograms show up when they are funky percentages, or however the splits read from the different V4V apps. Running with Boost Sauce, all good. That's interesting because I just got one Satoshi from... IPFS podcasting, and it says it was a 200% split. So maybe that's the issue they're talking about.
you're getting splits over 100%.
It's amazing. 500 from Randall Black. What time will Boostergram Ball Live be starting? I'm thinking 3 p.m. on Wednesday. I think that's a free slot on the stream. If not, but it'll be on both streams. I'll have my own stream and the No Agenda stream. See Lost in Linux again, 6969. Bro, if you don't have 4 million YouTube subs, are you even a real podcaster? No 187 million TikTok views. Actual failure, dude. Yeah, exactly. Hey citizen, 6969, how many sats to unlock the IRC premium skins and chat icons? That's funny. Silas again, 1,000 sats. I also draw on whiteboards. Okay. Salty Crayon 333. His favorite one is it's Harp. Yes, that's right. That was from our discussion about Hurricane Helene. Hi from the Blueberry Staff Retreat in Florida, says Mike Dell, 1701 with his Star Trek boost, go podcasting. Booberry, 3333. Ah, a promo. Catch legendary concert and podcast producer Chad F. on Bowls with Buds tonight. Found in the Bowl After Bowl feed or bowlafterbowl.com, 7 p.m. Central. Right on. Chad
Boost F. Advertising.
That's right. Boost advertisement. Thousands from Chad F. And let's see. Then we had, it was all test stuff that came in early. I do a pre-stream about 10 after 12 Central Time to get everybody into the mood, make sure all systems are working, and I hit the delimiter. So what you got on your list, Dave?
Just following up on that, on the stuff with Eric PP. Yes, Eric PP is always jumping in to help fix stuff. I also want to say that David Marzal and Stephen Crater constantly jump in to fix all kinds of, they do all kinds of pull requests.
Mm-hmm.
For the website.
Oh, cool.
And stuff like that. And it's very, very helpful in fixing bad feeds in the index and stuff. I just wanted to say thank you to them.
Much appreciated.
Yeah. We got a PayPal. We got one PayPal.
Oh, no.
You know who it is? Yes.
I give up.
Oscar Mary, $200.
Go podcasting!
All right.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you very much, Oscar Mary. Appreciate that. Keeping the index running, brother. Thank you.
We got some boostergrams. We got Odyssey West... okay. Odyssey Westra-Noster. Odyssey Westra Noster.
Okay. Zapping? Zapping into the boost? 5,000 sass. Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know how it works.
5,000 sass through Fountain. He says, great show you guys have. I love to hear about the behind the scenes work when it comes to podcasting 2.0. With regards to auto-generating voices for podcasting, this is happening with YouTube Shorts and a lot of summary-type videos for movies and shows. I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing is happening in podcasting. You're all right, though. For me, I do prefer the personal touch with podcasts, so hopefully it won't be as big of an issue as it is on video sharing sites. Yeah. Gene Everett, 3333, through Fountain. He said, for the episode Grip Pipe, he says, boost, boost, boost.
Yeah, boost, 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 boost,
boost, boost, boost.
There it is.
Cole McCormick, 2222 through Fountain. He says, I saw that Forbes article and thought it was great, except for Frank, the author, calling V for V tipping.
Yikes. Yes, I know it hurt me too, but I looked at it and went, you know, it's better than nothing.
I also want to share with the boardroom that I'm producing videos for Pod Home on YouTube and other socials. Look for the Podcast Normie YouTube channel. Videos will be up weekly. Go podcasting.
Oh, Podcast Normie. Okay.
Go podcasting!
Gene Bean, 2222 through Fountain. He says, the person href is not suitable as an identifier because sometimes the link goes to a page like the staff page of a church instead of a page for the single person. This means all staff members get the same URL. Good point. Now, it's a good point, and this also is a...
That's publisher error in my book.
Well, I was going there, but you know, this is sort of like one of those things where people are going to do stuff the wrong way.
Yes, it happens in all tags, every single tag.
And I can see what he's trying to say is stay as far away from allowing people to do things the wrong way as you can. So like that, I think I understand the spirit of what he's saying. And I think that's a good point that if you have an open href, then you're making it pretty easy to just not do the right thing.
Right.
Cause I keep going back to Tom Rossi's, thing that he said, if you stick an empty text box on a page, somebody's going to stick something in it.
Yeah, for sure.
What it is, you don't know.
You never know. So, you never know. That's true.
Okay. Message heard, Gene Bean. Okay. 5,000 sats from Genonymous through Fountain. He says, party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. Grep cut F3-6-D, comma.
Boom.
Pipe grep V, pipe sort, and your data analyst, Golf Victor Lima.
I'm in total agreement.
Uh-huh. I'm going to have to run that command through and see
what
it
is. Right. Don't do it as root, here. Whatever you do.
No. Okay. Yeah, I'm all fair. Yeah. Okay. Delimiter, Comic Street Blogger, 25,000 sats through Fountain.
Yep.
He says, howdy, fellow microphone connoisseurs, Adam and Dave. I'd like to invite your audience to subscribe to a podcast called Bandrew Says Podcast. Available at www.geeksrising.com/Bandrew Says, both in audio and video, and on YouTube. Bandrew is talking there about vital content creator topics, including polishing microphone sound quality to achieve total microphone bliss, is separate from his super popular, huge microphone review YouTube channel, Podcastage, Yo CSB.
Oh, I'll have to check out his content creator topics podcast on YouTube.
I thought he was about to say that he's covering topics such as polishing your microphone.
That actually helps. Polishing, I always polish my mic before I start. I'm a big proponent of polishing the mic.
Yeah, just the top. Just make sure the top.
Nice and polished. Just the tip.
And what do we got? We got some monthlies. We've got Cameron Rose, $25. Pedro Goncalves, $5. Kevin Bay, $5. Chad Farrow, Chad F, $20.22. Brendan from Podpage. We got to get Brendan on the show, right?
Oh, definitely. Do we have Daniel J next week? I see.
Yeah, DJL coming live on the show.
Now, did he just badger you long enough until you gave in? You're like, okay.
No, he did not. I reached out of my own volition. There was no pressure.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding, Daniel J. Just kidding.
I was driving to work and I thought, and I had an epiphany.
Need more Daniel J. Lewis.
Yep, need more DJL. Uh-huh, and then I reached out and he was like, yep, let's do it.
Excellent.
Mark Graham, $1. New Media, $1. Randall Black, $5. And Joseph Maraca, $5. That's our group.
Thank you very much, everybody, for your boosts, for your PayPals. We are a value for value operation here. Who said that? Someone said it here.
Said what?
Well, I'm looking for it. It was Pfeiffer said, you can tip through value for value, but not all value for value is tipping. Oh, very astute. If you want to find out more value for value, value4value.info. Mm-hmm. And thanks for keeping everything running. Your support is keeping the index running, everything that goes along with it. We're able to open up big boy channels to people when they need them. So we're happy to help. We're here to do. It's so odd, man. We had a follow-up call with... did we talk about that? Was it this week? When would you have that? Did we have that follow-up call this? No, I talked to KJ. I did a follow-up with him. And it's so hard for these commercial companies when we say, we don't really need any money. We don't want a business relationship with you, but if you're taxing our machines, we'll probably say, hey, can you flip some money our way so that we can put another machine in? They find it it's so hard for them to understand.
I hate contracts. I never want to sign one. Can we just always do handshakes?
I'm with you.
Nods and winks and handshakes. That's fine with me.
Let me nod and wink and shake your hand right now, Dave Jones. I got you out 4 minutes early. How beautiful is that?
Oh, it's beautiful.
All right. Boardroom, thank you very much for being here. Brother Dave, have yourself a great weekend.
You too, man.
And we will be back next week, same time, same bat channel, Podcasting 2.0, where we discuss the future of podcasting. Be here. You know you want it.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
I like to boost my balls.
Go podcasting!